from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, my goodness! It's only preseason, but I'm hyped. He'll fuck. Jimmy G. Buckets gets buckets. Oh, my goodness! Give me the hot sauce.
Hey, it's time for a brand new episode of Give Me the Hot Sauce. The NBA schedule has Stacey on the road for most of the week, so we are recording this episode from the lovely Sriracha Studios on Sunday afternoon. And we're going to have a special guest coming up later, Michelle Beadle. You know her from her work at ESPN. She was also at NBC, ABC, did some work for Fox as well. She's now part of the San Antonio Spurs broadcast team. The Spurs are in town to play the Bulls on Monday night. But the big news of the day, Kyrie Irving gets his wish. He's going to be traded to the Dallas Mavericks in exchange for Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, who, if you haven't heard much about him, he's a really good young forward, a good defensive player. They also get a first-round draft pick in 2029 and a couple of second-round picks that also come later in this decade. So it's going to take a while for the Brooklyn Nets to get all the return on that, but at least they get a player in Dinwiddie that can help them at least hang in there in the Eastern Conference, I would think.
Well, he's returning back to Brooklyn, so, I mean, that's where he got his start, basically. He had a really good career there, and he was one of the reasons why Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant wanted to come to Brooklyn in the first place to play with them, and they end up moving them. And so he's coming back to Brooklyn. So it should be a really interesting matchup. But, you know, how long till Kevin Durant says, I want out now?
Yeah, probably not long.
You know, because he was tied to James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and both those guys are on different teams now.
Yeah.
So he probably feels like he's been tricked, hoodwinked, bamboozled. You know, I came here for you guys, and I could have went anywhere. I could have stayed at Golden State, you know, been playing for titles.
They'd have been won numerous titles. Of course, Golden State won the championship last year. You wonder what they would have done had Kevin Durant stayed. You know, it was always made to be known to NBA teams during that summer free agency that it was a package deal. If you want Kevin Durant, you're going to take Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie really kind of dictated going to Brooklyn because he's from that area. And Kevin Durant willingly went along, and it's been nothing but a disaster with Kyrie being in and out of the lineup these last 3 years.
Well, and that's what you get for following someone who's not a leader.
Yeah.
You know, you're following someone that's been wishy-washy his whole career, doesn't show up to work and play, you know, always something going on with him. Every team that he's been on, it's imploded. You go back to Cleveland, you know, couldn't play with LeBron. Now you want to go back and play. You wanted to play with LeBron. Now, after you realize how hard it is to win a title without the guy, now you want to go back. They didn't make that trade. Lakers really didn't have anything to offer to bring him in there. Plus, the Lakers, from what I heard, only wanted to sign him to a 2-year deal, which that would max out to how long LeBron James' contract was. So when LeBron James' contract's over, then, you know, that would they would decide whether they want to give him another deal after that. So they didn't want to do that. And then, you know, you put him in Boston with a young Jaylen Brown and Tatum, you know, where they weren't even where they are now. And he was the main guy on that team, and he couldn't find a way to get along there, and then imploded that team. Everywhere he's gone, teams have done better when he left. So it would not surprise me if Brooklyn, you know, even though they lose him, Kevin Durant realized, like, wait a minute, maybe he was a problem all along, and maybe Brooklyn plays much better without him.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn is still going to be a contender in the East. You bring him in, you bring in Dorian Finney-Smith, who's a nice defensive player. He can guard some of the good wings around the league. And they've had some guys that have emerged this year. Nicholas Claxton is playing some really good basketball for them right now. And the young kid, Cam Thomas, at 44 the other day. They've got a deep guard rotation now. I don't know what they're going to do with Ben Simmons. He always doesn't seem to fit in that whole equation.
I think he fits better now. I think he fits much better now because now he's the sole ball handler. He's the point forward. I think it's a much better fit now because Kyrie had to have the ball in his hands a lot. And now that takes away Ben's game. Ben was basically a screener, roller, dive cut guy. Now he can get the ball off the glass, initiate the break. Now he goes into basically a point forward position. And then you got the kid Cam Thomas who can play off the ball. That can, I mean, he's proven since he's been in the NBA, he can score buckets and given minutes, which now he will get. And Spencer Dinwiddie, he can also play and get buckets and knows how to play. It's a pretty good team. Joe Harris is all coming out there. Seth Curry. And then you said, Claxton, who's been playing really, really well. I mean, they got a nice team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they, get the drama away with Kyrie Irving and all of his demands on the organization and all the strain he's causing. And, and Stacey, you lived through this when you were playing with Michael Jordan. A lot of times reporters would want to ask you about what's going on with MJ and is Pippen mad at the organization. That wears on players, doesn't it?
Yeah, but, when you're mature, you don't let the outside world, one thing that Phil always did with us is it was us against the world and everything was kept inside. This is a different era, different time now where everything's on social media. We didn't have social media. We didn't have Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all this stuff that these guys have now, which you are now flooded with information. So, and what we did was, everything that happened in the locker room stayed in the locker room. That was a pact that you had amongst brothers. It didn't matter. You just started hearing about things that happened in the locker room from The Last Dance and things. Sure, yeah. No one even knew these things even existed till you saw it on video. And then you start questioning, did that happen in the first three championships too? Did Michael punch somebody? We kept everything in house. And now, most of these guys are like old refrigerators. They can't keep nothing in. They got to run to social media. They got to tell something. It's an anonymous source says so-and-so did such and such, Most of them have their phones in the locker room at halftime. They're tweeting things out. So there's no camaraderie. There's no, this what stays and what goes on in the locker room stays like that. That whole philosophy is gone now.
Timmy Whispers alongside as always. Normally he's not here on a Sunday in the Telluride headquarters, but that's kind of like your life now. Everywhere you go, people ask you, what's Stacey King really like? Isn't that the way it works for you?
They do, and he is like an old refrigerator too. Can't keep anything in.
Oh, wow.
First words out of his mouth is a shot.
You know what? See, I wasn't even going to say anything. But I ain't going to lie. When I go places, people ask me about Timmy Whispers, and they said, is he really the guy that really doesn't talk? And I go, yeah, he's really that guy. He's that guy that just sits there. I have a conversation with him. I have to text him to talk to him. That's the only time he talks to me is via text. But when we sit next to each other, I'm like, Tim, how was your day? Crickets.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you don't need to know stuff. But I do miss the old days that Stacey talked about where it was that team that you didn't shake hands sometimes with the other opponents. And there's loyalty. You could count a guy like Oakley to take someone out for you.
Now everybody's friends and they're recruiting each other during the season, after the season.
Prime example, last night, DeMar DeRozan hard fouled Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Went to wrapped him up, threw him on the ground, and turned away and walked away. And I gave him a standing ovation for the table. I've been asking for guys to stop doing that, reaching over, helping. Hey, are you okay? I'm sorry. But no one does that for the Bulls. They knock the Bulls down and no one helps him up. And I'm like, why are we always got to be the nice guys? You got to start playing, it's not like you're trying to hurt someone. Now, if you hurt someone, you're not trying to hurt him. You say, hey, man, you're all right. But, it's a hard foul. It's the NBA. It's a hard foul. DeMar Hart fouls and walks away. Me and Adam gave him a standing ovation, man. We've been calling for that all
year. That's old school, DeMar DeRozan. Hey, before we talk more about the Bulls, one more thought on the Kyrie Irving trade, the news of the day. He's going to Dallas, and all indications are, Mark Cuban will take chances on guys, and Jason Kidd was an outspoken person during his time in the NBA, so he's not afraid to take that on as well. The indication is they're going to try to sign him to a long-term extension because Kyrie's deal is up at the end of the year. He's supposed to make his Dallas Mavericks debut Wednesday night in Los Angeles against the Clippers. Stacey, how do you feel about the partnership of two ball-dominant guys like Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic?
I'm not excited about it at all. I mean, because, he's proven that he's a singular talent. He's a guy that can go out there and get you 40 points easily, but doesn't play well with others. And if you can't get along with Kevin Durant and James Harden, You couldn't play with those guys. You couldn't play with, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. And now you're asking to play with arguably the best, one of the best players in the game, who the ball's in his hands all the time. And
he likes to walk it up,
yes,
too.
Yes, he likes to walk the ball up. He's not trying to get out of the fast break. And he's, you know, it's his team. It's Dallas is his team. And now you're coming to his team. It's like when you bring a new dog into the house and you got to acclimate it to the other dog and you got to let that other dog know, like, this is his territory and you got to ease him in there. Kyrie's not that kind of guy. Kyrie's the kind of guy, like, I'm the lead dog, and, you know, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to dominate whoever's in here. And it doesn't work that way, and those marriages don't work. I feel bad for Jason Kidd, because, you know, Jason Kidd has got that team. You know, they never recovered from losing Brunson. They can say whatever they want to say. You know, Brunson should have been an all-star this year in New York. They have not recovered from losing him. So this is kind of an upgrade into what Brunson was doing. A guy that can come out and get you 40 points. But the problem is like, how's this dynamic going to work between the two of those guys? You know, how's it going to work? Because Luka is the man. Luka's top five player in the league. I don't care what nobody says.
Oh, yeah,
top five player in the league, and going to be multiple MVPs at some point in his career. How does this work?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, Mark Cuban, as we said, likes to have that kind of a tense atmosphere in Dallas. He loves the high-profile celebrity kind of performer. So we'll see how it works out. Dallas has made some deep runs in the past, and they're banking that Kyrie Irving will be a long-term fit. But we'll see how that's going to work out and whether they sign him to a long-term contract. Hey, before we get into the Bulls, I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, our good friend Jeff Vukovich. When it comes to insurance for your auto, home, and business, make sure you contact the king of insurance, Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. You can reach him at jeffvuk.com. That's jeffvuk.com. Stacey, you got another jingle in you on a Sunday afternoon?
I'm a little tired, Mark. You know, I used them up last night, so I'm gonna call on a little help. Sriracha crew, go ahead.
Nicky Knuckles.
Oh, they got cut off guard. I got them all guard. They weren't ready.
Yeah, they're doing double duty and they're running the audio board. And oh my goodness.
Guys.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go.
Yeah, time's a-wasting.
Nationwide is...
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, America, we'd like to send out an apology on that one. They weren't ready. It's our fault. We didn't have them ready. The little microphone wasn't ready, but they did a decent job, you know. And,
but Whispers, you already cashed that check, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we already got the sponsor check. So Jeff, I'm sorry if you don't like this one, buddy. That's all we can do on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Came back on the Christmas album. That's out.
So for all your insurance needs, contact the king of insurance, Jeff Vukovich, at jeffvuk.com. The Bulls, a winner, coming back from 17 down in the third quarter to beat the Portland Trailblazers on Saturday. It was an interesting performance. They got good effort from a lot of guys. I thought Io was really critical in that third quarter. He had a couple of threes and was very aggressive. I know you mentioned on the broadcast that ever since he didn't get included in the Rising Stars game, he's kind of come out with a vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, it started the game against Charlotte, because that's when he found out that he didn't make the sophomore team. Yeah. And you could just tell he came out aggressive. I think he missed two shots, 22 points, season high. Came out this last game last night against Portland. I thought at first he was really focused on trying to stay in front of Damian Lillard was, I thought he was going to go for 60. I was like, okay, are we going to adjust the defensive game plan on this guy? Because he was, I'll tell you what, like watching, you know, you watch him play, man, you get an appreciation because you only get to see him twice a year. But when you see him go on one of these scoring drives, man, he doesn't really have a team, like a really good team around him. They got some good pieces, but that's not a team that you say, well, if they get to the playoffs, they're going to beat somebody.
No.
But he can single-handedly beat you. He's the one guy in this league, along with a Luka, you know, a LeBron, you know, Kevin Durant, that can take a team and elevate them to a level that they couldn't get to with another superstar player. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy that can elevate everyone around you, plus the ability to take over a game and score in like super, super scoring things. Like, I mean, 15-0 runs, you know, 18 points in a row. I mean, he can do that. I mean, unbelievable point guard. I love watching him play. One of my favorite players.
He would have been a big hit in the NBA Jam video game in the 90s. He's on fire.
Oh, man. I tell you what. I mean, the Bulls had their hands full with him last night. I mean, he single-handedly, I mean, he had like 40-something, 40, I think.
Yeah, he didn't do anything in the fourth quarter, which is great.
Yeah, he got locked down. And plus, I think, I mean, they were coming off a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And they had to come from behind to beat Washington. Mm-hmm. And so I called it. I said, you know, the first two quarters they were in the game and they, you know, had the big lead, they had the big quarter. And then then I said, you know, it's just, when is it a matter of time before they get tired? Because they had to play it. The pace was so high last night. The Bulls did a good job of controlling pace, making them get out and run a little bit more than probably what they wanted to. And it was just a matter of time before they wore down. And then you got to give the Bulls credit. They moved the basketball. I mean, last night, you know, 32 assists on 48 made field goals. I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable performance last night. Vooch, at the end of the game, the last 6 minutes of that game, the big three stood out. Zach played extremely well. DeMar played well. Vooch played well. But in that fourth quarter when the team needed and the game was like nip and tuck, because that first few minutes of that fourth quarter, neither team could score. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Bulls went on a little run and that was the end of the game. But the three superstar players really, really stepped up last night.
Yeah, I think with Portland right now, the Bulls will get their first round pick. That comes from the Lowry market and three-team trade with Cleveland and Portland. The next time the Trailblazers make the playoffs, the Bulls get their first round pick. So in any game except last night, you're rooting for Portland to win. You think Portland has any chance to crack the top eight in the West?
It's hard to say, Mark. Depending on Nurkic, you know, they played last night without Nurkic. And, you know, the kid Anthony Simons is going to be a really good player. I mean, he's a really good player for them. They've got some really good pieces. You know, you look at the Western Conference. I mean, you got to look at all the teams that you got to jump past. I mean,
One game under 500 now.
Yeah.
Portland.
So, I mean, the Pelicans, Jazz, T-Wolves, Warriors, you know, Mavericks, those six teams right there are going to be all interchangeable at some point.
Yeah.
You know, Timberwolves going to get Carl Anthony Towns back and they're going to play much better. You know, you got the Jazz. I mean, they're up and down, but they were a top three team early in the season.
It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be crazy going down the final couple of months to see which teams crack the field in both the East and the West. Speaking of the West, Steph Curry hurt his leg again yesterday. They're saying there was no significant damage to his knee, but they're saying he might miss several weeks, which puts him out for the All-Star game. And Golden State just hanging on to a playoff spot. They could be in some trouble.
Mark, that's the injury you didn't want to hear about.
Yeah.
You know, because they're already struggling right now on the road anyway, which is still just absolutely crazy to me that they could be so dominant at home and then on the road, they're a totally different team. They can't afford to have injuries right now. There's 30-something games left, depending on how long he's out. He's such a big part of what they do. He's the reason why they win.
Question.
Yeah. I don't care what nobody says. He's the reason why they win. And when he's not out there, their chances of winning is diminished. And they got to get that guy back out there because they had just started to seem like they started to turn the corner a little bit. And then now you got this. Now they got, you know, two steps forward, three steps back type of situation.
It'd be interesting to see what they do before the trade deadline, which, of course, everybody knows comes up on Thursday afternoon. The Warriors had been rumored about trying to seek some veteran help for their bench because they started the year thinking they would get Wiseman and Moody and Kuminga would play a lot of minutes off the bench. That has not happened at all. They have not played well when they've been put into important roles, and Andre Iguodala never plays, so they need somebody to come off that bench. Do you think Golden State is going to make a move, or will this Curry injury force them to say maybe it's not our year?
Well, I mean, they've got a lot of young talent on the bench to move.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on who they want to get rid of. I mean, you know, you got the, you know, Draymond Green contract thing going on that, you know, in the summer that's going to, you know, they're going to have to make a decision on that. You got Kuminga, who they really like, and they like Wiseman, but they, you know, Wiseman hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He could be traded.
And then you got Kuminga, who hasn't, you know, who shows you flashes of doing some really good things, but then he shows you that he's still a young player with some of the mistakes that he makes defensively and the rotations they need him to do. So, you know, they've got some young pieces. Moody, the guard, who doesn't get a lot of playing time, big guard, you know, he's a guy that could be a trade piece. I think they took for granted losing guys like Otto Porter, you know, Gary Payton II. Those guys were veteran guys that came off the bench and they really played well for him. And, you know, they couldn't afford to pay him. They had to make decisions. Who are we going to pay? And they let those guys go. And now you want to elevate those younger players up there, and they're not ready yet. For some reason, they're not ready to play.
There was a report last week, just when the Kyrie Irving news broke about the fact that he was considering, he was asking for a trade, that maybe the Bulls would be interested. Mark Spears, who's a very well-respected reporter out there in the Bay Area, mentioned them as one team that might be interested. It never made any sense to me because I don't think the Bulls want any part of that drama. Plus, they don't really have the pieces available to try to get him. Now that's gone. Do you anticipate the Bulls making a move to try to strengthen their backcourt in the coming days, Stace?
Oh, man, it's tough, man. I said this last show. It's like, you know, they believe that, you know, they are, they've got continuity with their guys. Okay. You got to look at long-term situation. You've got Zach locked in, you've got DeMar locked in, and now you got Vooch is going to be, you know, coming up as a free agent. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. Do they feel like they can go in? Like, this is still a good team. Like, sure, they're only four. We can, get, can we throw the stats up for the Eastern Conference again? They're only like three or four games out of like the sixth, seventh spot. So they can, I mean, you look at it right here. I mean, they're not far off. They're in the ninth spot right now.
Three behind the Heat.
They're
for
three
six.
Behind, and they've already beaten the Heat twice.
Yeah.
You know, they can bypass some of these teams if they, you want to see them go on a little run right now. You know what I'm saying? You've got some games here. These next 2 weeks are going to be tough for the Bulls because, you know, you got to go to Memphis and play a Grizzly team. It's tough to play at home. That's going to be tough, but the Bulls always seem to pull a rabbit out of the hat when teams you don't think they're supposed to beat, they beat. Okay. Then you turn around, you got to play the Nets, who now without Kyrie Irving.
Right.
And I don't know what Kevin Durant's situation is. He back playing yet? I don't know.
No, he's not back yet.
Okay. So that you look at that as being a tough game, but the Bulls should win that one. And then you got a Cavaliers team that's, you know, had the way with the Bulls, you know, these last, well, they really got, the Bulls got cheated. Let's just be honest.
Both
and,
games, the last 2 minute report.
We got cheated in those games. So that's going to be a tough game. And then you go back the next week, you got the Magic who plays the Bulls tough. You got Indiana and you got, you know, Milwaukee. So right before the All-Star break. So if you're Billy Donovan right now, you're looking at the Spurs. You already won two. You know, you should have beat the Clippers the other night. So you won, you know, two out of three. So you want to, you know, you want to have a week looking at the schedule. You would say, I want to get the Spurs. I want to get the Nets, Magic, Pacers. So I want to probably get four out of those seven games, maybe five out of seven. That's a realistic goal for them. Plus, if you count the two they already won, that's a pretty good haul for them.
Yeah, and they'll hope to get Javonte Green back in the lineup soon as well. Derek Jones.
Drink Jr. milk. Drink
yeah,
milk.
Yeah. As our guest from last week, LeVar milk, Ball said, have some eggs and some milk, right?
Yeah.
Do some push-ups.
Right. Run those hills.
Yeah, in case you missed last week's episode with LeVar Ball, you got to check it out. He was fantastic. I mean, he was wound up and he was bombastic as always.
Yeah, he was
a good time. And we're going to have a great time talking to Michelle Beadle. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. What else we got from around the league? You anticipate the All-Star voting. Anything surprise you with that, Stacey? At least the reserves. The starters, we kind of figured. The Zion Williamson thing we talked about last week. But you think anybody really got snubbed from the All-Star reserve?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people got snubbed. Yeah. But, I mean, based off of guys missing, like perennial All-Stars like Devin Booker, you know,
Jimmy Butler
didn't make it.
You know, Trae Young.
You know, Trae Young. Injuries cost some of those guys opportunities. But you look at him right here. Look, you know, Steph will be out, so someone will replace him in the West.
Yeah. Maybe that's Devin Booker's opportunity.
And maybe Kevin Durant takes a break.
Yeah.
Somebody will replace him. But, I mean, Jason Tatum's definitely an All-Star. Donovan Mitchell's an All-Star. Kyrie.
You know, the one that surprised me was Jaren Jackson Jr. making it in the West because he missed a lot of games. I know he leads the NBA in block shots, but his other stats aren't really that All-Star worthy.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, some of these guys, like when you look at – like Tyrese Halliburton definitely should have been on there.
Yeah.
I thought out of Randle and Jalen Brunson should have been on there.
He's the one makes it go. Yeah, the point guard.
Yes, he's the one. He's made a huge difference in their game. Mm-hmm. DeMar definitely should have been on there. Joel Embiid, you know, so all the rest of those names are good. But when you look at the West, like Jaren Jackson, I mean, what does he do that stands out? I know he leads the league in shot blocking.
He only played 35 games out of 52 or whatever they played so far. So I think that, you know, especially if you're a marginal guy, you got to hold that against him. You know, Anthony Davis didn't make it because he missed so many games.
Well, I think there should be some kind of prerequisite if you don't play certain amount of games before All-Star break, you can't even be considered.
Right.
I mean, that's fair across the board for the Eastern and the Western Conference. If you don't have a certain amount of games before the All-Star break, you know, if you miss, you know, 15 games, let's say, this is just throwing a number out there, 15 games, you can't be an All-Star.
Yeah.
So for the people who are playing, because you're only an All-Star for that year. We're not talking about what you've done in the past. We're not keeping, you're a 10-time All-Star, so we're automatically putting you on the team. We're talking about who's playing well that year for an All-Star. You know, you look at kids like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who probably should have been a starter. Larry Markins should have been a starter. No matter what people might say about that, those guys should have been starters in the Western Conference. But because of popularity, you know, people are going to put their favorite player in the starting lineup. You know, fans get to vote. We get that. And then it's the guys who come in on the reserves, the coaches vote for that. So, You know, it needs to be changed. It needs to be upgraded. You know, guys missing all these games and then showing up making the All-Star team and then playing in the All-Star game, but you missed your games for your team and you hadn't showed up for, you know, 25 games, but you're healthy to play an All-Star mm-hmm. game and be at All-Star weekend and have a good time. I don't like that idea.
Yeah, we want to congratulate Lauri Markkanen. Of course, he spent the first 4 years of his career playing for the Chicago Bulls. He was then sent on to Cleveland in that three-team trade we talked about earlier. Then he traded again, which in the deal that brought Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland. So he's had to move around a lot. He's had to adjust. But people forget, even though it's his sixth year in the league, he's only 25 years old. And he had a lot of injuries early in his career. People always ask me, you know, why didn't the Bulls develop Lauri Markkanen? Well, there were a lot of factors that went into that. Also, sometimes organizations just don't have the patience to wait for guys. You know, you see a lot of examples of guys until they're mid to even late 20s, finally the light turns on and they finally show what they can become.
Well, I mean, you can go down at everyone's roster and say that, you know, why did they develop this guy? Why didn't they develop the team? Sometimes get impatient because now we live in a win now situation where the organizations put so much pressure on the coach to win now. And all this money that's being thrown out to these players, if I'm paying a player, you know, $15 million a season, I expect victories for that. You know, and when you're not winning, someone's got to pay for it. Someone's going to be blamed for it. And so it's going to be the player or it's going to be the coaching staff or it's going to be the front office. It's always been that way. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people the side on error, don't be quick to get rid of somebody. As you're seeing with Patrick Williams right now, you know, Patrick Williams now, since January 1st, since that game in Minnesota, has completely turned his game around. He is now the fourth viable option on this team behind mm-hmm. the big three. Okay, he's put up numbers of like 13 points a game, shooting over close to 50% for the field, 40-some percent from the three-point line, probably the Bulls, arguably the Bulls' best three-point shooter during that stretch. He's got 1.1 steals. He's blocking shots. He's their number one defensive player. He's guarding the toughest player every single night. He's showing you that he's going to be a 3-and-D guy if he's not that already because he's knocking down threes, so he's also D-ing up. So he's technically a 3-and-D guy. So everybody was quick to get rid of him. Oh, he's a bust, you know, this, that. And now people are seeing, man, don't rush to judgment so right. quickly. Let these guys grow and develop. You got to remember, he came in as an 18-year-old. He was the youngest player in that draft. And he's still a young player. And he's making, you know, his first year he gets hurt because he had the bubble year and he didn't really have a training camp. And then he got hurt his second year when Robinson took him out of there and broke his wrist. He missed almost the whole season. So this is really kind of his, like, technically his first – really full season of playing. Mm-hmm. So don't, and same thing with Kobe. How many times we talked about people talking about trade Kobe, you know, on the show, trade Kobe. Okay, be careful. Cause you know, Kobe could go somewhere else and light it up and score, you know, 15, 18 points a game. And people say, well, he was on our team. Same thing with Spencer Dinwiddie. We had Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie went to the D League, came up here, first game in the Chicago uniform, had 35 points. Didn't see him again in lineup. Then he goes to the G League and he's a free agent and Brooklyn signs him. And now he's one of the top point guards, one of the most sought after, you know, reserves or starters that teams want. They want a veteran guard like him. And now look at him. He's going back to Brooklyn. He'll be a starter. Woo, don't give up on these kids.
It's like back in the day when you were playing rec league ball, whispers, people were wondering, when is he going to develop? When is he going to become the star that everybody talked about?
No one said that, Mark. No one said that, Mark. No one said that, Mark. Don't even entertain him to make him even comment.
I wanted him
like
to
that.
Say something. He's been sitting there quietly. He's not even drinking his beer. No, it's like he's down.
Ask him a question about, you know, Kyrie Irving. Don't say nothing like that, Mark.
I was thinking about Stacey's coaching me back then. It really kept me down.
He held you back, right?
He was the head of our league, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, Mark, I just wish you would not have asked that question because I knew. I was like, oh, man. That's why I had to interject before we even start because I didn't want to hear his answer.
I can't even bring my crusty old shirt in here.
No, he's not. You're not getting that retired.
You could borrow Cisco's.
No. Yeah, you can borrow his little tight shirt.
He's got a tight shirt for you.
A little tight shirt.
I have been thinking about it. Asking a favor.
It'll fit. You like wearing tight shirts anyway.
Hey, Stacey, tell the folks about the exciting news you shared at the end of yesterday's broadcast about your hot sauce being introduced in a restaurant in the Chicago area.
Oh, America. America. The hot sauce is coming everywhere, baby. You better get your bottle while you can. It's affordable right now. You better get it. Okay, I'm just telling you, we've been trying to tell you for a whole year this hot sauce is about ready to explode. So I'm getting ready to do a thing with the 312 and the Goose Island mm-hmm. beer thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a special burger. They do a special burger for charity like every month or something. And then my burger will be featured for a month.
Nice.
So like sometime in March where we're trying to come up with something. I just bought them some of the salsa verde barbecue sauce, because I don't know what we're going to do yet. I'm talking to the chef right now. We're in the kitchen. We're trying to whip up something right now. I told him it has to be a good grade of meat. Don't give me no cheap, cheap hamburger. You know, it's got to be like steak. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come up with maybe two burgers and then pick from one, which one we like. So I'm excited about that, America. I try to tell y'all to get your bottles while you can, baby. I'll sell them out.
And the Jewel Osco thing is still on course?
Oh, yeah. Yes. For March Madness is the plan.
March Madness? Okay.
March Madness.
Now, Whispers can't get you the stuff packaged in time to get it to you for your Super Bowl parties, but still, Timmy, tell them how they can get a bottle of hot sauce.
We could do it.
You can get it that quick?
Yeah, we can do whatever.
Order now, as they say.
You can also get it overnight. Order now. Yeah. Use that code KING21.
Are you sitting there with a calculator doing the discounts yourself while you're packing the sauce?
Well, trying to figure it out. The shipping rate.
That's a bad vision for me. You know,
it is.
Yeah, because I see that closet where you have the sauce.
Well, what's a good one, Mark? What's a good vision of me for you?
Hey, you're the hot sauce packer of the group. Come on now.
Man code violation, baby. Man code violation right there. We don't want to see you in a good position. I don't want to see that.
Is it hot in this studio again?
It is hot. Flaming hot.
I thought you were just making me sweat, Mark.
Read the ad, Timmy.
Freak.
Oh, geez.
Wait, where's Christopher Walken? People are always asking for him on the chat.
I'm right here.
All right.
I was just waiting for my turn. Are you looking to score the hottest sauce in the game? Well, then you're in luck. We've got all the sauce that your kitchen needs from Chicago Fire 1871. Gets you so hot. Give Me the Hot Sauce has got you covered. Stop by GiveMeTheHotSauce.com and use code KING21 to get 21% off your first order.
Very nice. You know, it's award season in radio and television. I actually have a vote in the SAG-AFTRA thing, so they send me all these different DVDs about different movies and series. One of the series that's up for an honor is Severance. You heard about that?
Yeah.
The one on Apple TV Plus where, you know, they basically do surgery to separate your mind, so when you go to work, you're one person, and when you go home, you're another. Anyway, Christopher Walken has a bit part in it. He plays, you know, one of these research guys, and he comes walking in with his lab coat. And when he started talking, I almost fell down on the floor, because all I'm thinking is Whisper is playing the role, you know?
Yeah, let's cut into this guy's head and see what's in there.
And, you know, he's perfect for that part, because anything that's strange and out of the ordinary, Christopher Walken is a good fit.
I like creepy stuff.
Yeah, he always is good at those, like those things where you can just use one-liners.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you what, I just saw The King of New York the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, and, oh, man, that's a classic movie.
Yeah.
Hey, when he shot Arnie, the guy, when he said, hey, we're tired of you robbing us. We're tired of you robbing us. And, you know, you guys got fat while I was in prison. Da, da, da. And he's like, and he basically said, I'm taking over the whole thing. And then when he shot the dude and he's like, pow, 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 and shot him at a card game. And then he turns around and says, anybody like to work for me? If you want to work for me, come over to the Crown Plaza. And if you're tired of working for guys like this who rip you off, pop, 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 put three more into them, come see me at the Crown Plaza. You need to learn that line. Yeah. That'd be great.
I'll pick it up. I liked him when he played Joe Dirt's dad, though. That was a great role.
He's great in everything, whether it's comedies, a small part or a lead role. He's just fantastic. We'll see what Michelle Beadle thinks about Christopher Walken. She's going to join us next on Give Me the Hot Sauce. This episode 117 rolls on from the Sriracha Studios on a Sunday afternoon. Episode 117 of Give Me the Hot Sauce continues. The San Antonio Spurs are in town to play the Chicago Bulls Monday night at the United Center. We are recording this episode on a Sunday afternoon, and kind enough to join us now is Michelle Beadle, part of the San Antonio Spurs broadcast crew. You remember her from all her great work at ESPN and other networks. Michelle, thank you for joining us from your downtown location. I understand that the Spurs has almost been a lifelong, I don't know if passion is the right word, but an organization you're very familiar with.
Yeah, it's sort of like a second family. The one that I've spent the most time with. I was an intern 24 years ago now. I have to think about that. And most of the people that were there starting out with me are all now still here, and they're producers and directors, and it's just got a real family vibe. Ushers. I mean, it's just a lot of familiar faces, even though I was gone for over two decades, which has been really, it's nice. It's a nice welcome back.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your new role there, you know, coming in there, being an analyst there, working with my boy Sean Elliott and Bill Land.
Well,
you know, talk a little bit about
analyst,
that.
Analyst is a stretch. I'm not going to accept that. I will say random words at random times. Sometimes there's zingers. I think my job is to inject a little sarcasm into the broadcast every once in a while. And, you know, we're obviously a team that's not going to win the championship this year, but it is a team of really young, hungry, fun kids. And so oddly enough, I've been a part of teams that were bad. And then the entire experience was bad. It just wasn't a good vibe. It's actually quite fun and we're having a blast and I genuinely like watching them play. So doesn't feel like a job. I get to come to places like Chicago again, which I have missed dearly for the last several years. So yeah, it's calling it a job seems a little disingenuous. It's sort of a fun hobby that I happen to get paid for.
Hey, take us back to your intern days. You said about 24 years ago. That's right when the Spurs were about to take off. They won the 99 championship in that shortened season, and then went on that great run in the aughts. What was it like when you were young and impressionable and around that organization as they were really ready to launch into some great years of winning?
I mean, 1999 was my internship, my first year, and good luck for me. And and another friend of mine, Daniel, who's still here, he's a producer now. And so we just have nothing but these crazy memories because, you know, when you start as an intern and something like that happens, and then seemingly the years that come after that are also good. It's hard to go out into the real world. I equate it to like kids who were young when the Warriors started winning and that's all they've ever known. And now they all of a sudden have to be like, oh, teams can lose. This isn't very fun at all. And it does happen, but it was such a cool experience. I didn't have any goals to do anything in this field, in this world. It was just sort of one of those, I had dropped out of college. My parents were yelling at me all the time to do something with my life. And I begged for an internship in a position that I really had no idea what it was. And they were kind enough to eventually let me stand in front of a camera and awkwardly say words. And that was it. And so it was just, I'm forever grateful that this place, I would have done nothing because I would have never even known the rest of that world existed. So I'm forever grateful for everything that they've done for me in my entire life.
Talk a little bit about, you know, this is coming to the end of the Popovich era and it's getting ready to ride.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe. Unless they get Victor. If they get Victor, he may sign off for another 10 years.
That's what I'm saying. So
he's waiting to see how that goes. But talk a little bit about how he's, over the years, you know, kind of softened up. He's always had a great personality, but it seems like he's really softened up as a coach, not so rigid. It's looking like he's really having a good time with these young kids. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, he jokes a lot about when people ask him about the coaching and sort of this rebuild and whatever you want to label it. But he'll tell you, he's like, look, in the years with Timmy and Dave and that run, that stretch, I didn't have to do much. I mean, you had some of the greatest players. You just put them out on the floor. They did their thing. And five championships later, it's like, okay, you're the greatest coach of all time. He's actually now, as he says it, he's coaching again. He's having to work. And he likes it. We have teenagers, for God's sakes. Like Jeremy Sochan, if you get a chance to watch them, and you'll see tomorrow, and I'm hoping Jeremy plays tomorrow. I know he's got a tweaked back, but if you watch them together, it's just this very lovely relationship. There's just a lot of listening and a lot of like arm around the shoulder and arm around the, and teaching is going on, which, you know, at this point in a man's career, you don't think he's going to do a lot more of that because he is who he is and he can just show up and he's pop. But I think this is the part that he actually likes. And it's for that reason that when people ask me, when do you think he's going to be done? Is this it? I don't think so. I mean, he's having fun. I also think Pop's very much wired like some of us, where when he is done, he's just going to be done. Like there's not going to be a bunch of fanfare. He's probably going to text RC Buford the night before, tell him he's done. And then so we're all going to move on. Like, I can't imagine there's going to be this big lead up to when he actually retires. But so far, and if we get Victor Wembanyama, I don't really know why he'd want to leave, to be honest. Like, I feel like it would be fun for him all over again.
A lot of people who are just casual fans of the NBA, they've seen Pop's interviews at the end of the first or third quarter and kind of being short with the sideline reporter. You've probably been in that situation before. And they think that he's a mean guy, but he actually is a great guy if you get to know him. And you see so many of these scenes now at the end of games, Michelle, where he puts his arm around the opposing head coach, win or lose, and is always giving him great words of advice and try and encourage him on. He seems to be a fan of so many players around the league. This is just so much fun to watch him in the latter stage of his career, really being appreciated for what he's brought to the game.
Well, and it's crazy too, because that his tree, that pop tree, if they want to call it, it's so far extending. I mean, it's almost every coach in this league has some sort of a connection to a pop trail, to a pop branch here and there. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we just had Philadelphia in town on Friday, so there was a long exchange between he and Doc Rivers at the end of that game. It's every single game, and it's not just with opposing coaches who he may or may not have influenced, whether it be indirectly or directly, but players on the other teams. I mean, with his work through USA and all of the coaching that he's done, It's really, I don't know, not to sound cheesy, because I really don't have a heart and I don't want anyone to think I do, but it's like, it really is touching. Like every game, you're just sort of, even the players that I don't necessarily care for, when he's embracing with them, you're just like, see, this is awesome. Like, he is so well respected. And yes, he was terrifying during those interviews. Like, Doris Burke to me is one of the best to ever do this business, period. And I remember how mortified she would be to have to do those interviews with Pop. And I'm sitting there going, good Lord, if Doris Burke is scared, what's the average person going to feel? But you're right. He is an acquired taste to some, if you're not accustomed to that type of personality. I tend to be wired more like a Pop than somebody else. I love it. I love sarcasm. I love dryness. I love not suffering fools lightly. And I think he's all of those things. And he also gets that basketball is not the end all be all. And I think that's one of the biggest things that he's taught any of these kids who've come through here, that there's more to it. It's basketball's big and it's going to pay you a lot of money and you can make a great career for yourself, but there's a hell of a lot more out there for you to like learn about and know about and be passionate about. And I love that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to ask you about, because he's so socially aware. He's not afraid to step outside his comfort zone and express what he believes in. And sometimes it rubs people the wrong way, but it has the respect of all the players, you know, guys, especially African-American players, that he's not afraid to talk about the difficult things, what's going on in society. And I really applaud him for that, because a lot of people like to tend to like hide in the shadows. Like, oh, I want to say something, but I don't think it's appropriate. But he's not afraid. And I like that about him.
Oh, because he's not wrong. I mean, look, we live in Texas. I don't know how much everybody knows politically where Texas stands, but it ain't easy to be Pop thinking the way Pop thinks and say the things he says out loud in a place like Texas. And for that, I even respect him even more, because I grew up there. Like, I get it. It is so much easier to just shut your mouth and keep it moving and not have to deal. But he also knows that that's not right, and that he has a platform. He's earned that platform. He also not just represents himself and his global citizenship, but he represents a hell of a lot of young players, Black, white, European. They're from all over the world at this point. And so if you don't speak up, I mean, what exactly is the lesson we're teaching future generations? So whether you agree with his ideologies or not, I think the simple fact that he's never shied away from answering any of the tough questions is something to admire.
Hey, let's talk about your broadcasting career. You've been in a number of different spots. And I know as a veteran of the local news wars, I've been involved in some situations where executives make changes and everybody's scratching their heads like, what in the world are these people thinking? How have you been able to ride that roller coaster and still have a big smile on your face at this point in your life?
Well, I mean, look, probably the number one thing was the ESPN thing. But people don't know. Like, I that was my call. Like, I didn't want to be there anymore. Like, it got gross and disgusting behind the scenes. And thank God for contracts. So that affords you the opportunity to sort of leave and not work for a while and chill out. And so the thing about it is like, if you know, and I've been doing it long enough now, it's been 20 years. It's a thick skin business. Nobody starts out with a thick enough skin right. For this industry. There's no chance. But it gets thick really, really quickly. And I think with this, the emergence of social media, it was forced a lot of us to grow up a lot faster than we probably would have otherwise, because if you're just inundated with garbage, and if that doesn't do it, then I don't know what does. And so you realize, like, if you know what you're good at and what you've done and how you've treated people along the way, then really the decisions of people who, quite frankly, I don't necessarily respect or their opinions, never could bother me, because I think I knew what was up. And I think all of us have been there. Like, you'll see decisions being made that make absolutely no sense, but you know what you did. You know you did it right. You know you did it to your best. it is what it is. And there's a better place for you coming up. And I truly believe that. And I think doing it long enough earned the right to sort of call the shots now and not deal with the garbage, because the garbage is exhausting. Quite. And this world should be fun. Like, we're talking about sports, for God's sake. Yeah. None of this should be where we go home and cry at night. This should be fun every single day, period.
Well, I go back to when you criticized Stephen A. Smith for his comments on Ray Rice. I really commended you for that, because he's such a big presence, and they pretty much put all the everything behind him, you know, the Stephen A. machine.
And, how do you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like Captain Obvious here. But for you to stand up in that situation and to go against what he said about the Ray Rice domestic abuse, I really think that was awesome, because you said a lot of things that I think a lot of people wanted to say. And we get into that thing, and like a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cross Stephen A. Smith, you know, and you are, right. This is a colleague, you work there. And for you, yeah. for you to stand up and say that, that's what I like about you, because you say what's on your mind. See, I like people like that. There's no BS with you. There's no BS. It's like, this is who I am. I have this belief. I have an opinion. I didn't appreciate what he had said. And I give you credit for standing up. A lot of people, you probably took some heat from some people, but I know there's a lot of people that was in your corner for what you did.
I mean, yeah, there were definitely his fans were not happy with me, but honestly, look, it's as simple as that. I mean, we all have a ton of opinions. We have platforms if we want to share them. Certain things bother me more than others. And I just felt like in those instances, why not say something? Because it's almost as if when you all work for the same company and the loudest of the mouthpieces is sort of getting all the spotlight. In my mind, the idea that the rest of the world thinks that we condone those thoughts or that we, no way, man. And not only that, but you're working with a ton of women and a ton of strong women. And so to have that be the sentiment that was kind of being amplified, like, no, I'm not here for that. And honestly, worst case scenario, what were they going to do? Suspend me too? Like, that's fine. I would have accepted it. I feel like if you really believe what you say, then it is what, if you get punished, you get punished, but I stand by it. And it hasn't always worked out in my favor, but I don't regret any of the things I've said. So there's that.
and still okay to wear a skirt, right?
Yeah, exactly. Still wear a skirt, damn it.
Tim's always on the verge of being suspended from our podcast.
Yes, he is.
He asks one or two questions, and they're always just on it. What has your research told you about Michelle Beal?
Well, Michelle knows what I was talking about, and that's what matters.
Well, you got to have another question. You usually got something.
You got some other questions.
Oh, sure.
Oh, geez.
All right, what do you got? What do you got today?
So, tell us about why you stopped watching football.
Oh, God. Well, I did for a long time. You know, there was such a stretch between the way that I don't think the NFL has necessarily come a long way on this particular matter or any of the matters, actually, quite frankly, that I think about. But the Colin Kaepernick situation for me was problematic. And I will all go to our graves that he got blackballed, and I won't ever hear otherwise. And it's not going to be argued to me. I'm not going to listen to it. Secondly, I think that they do a really good job of merchandising like pink stuff. But I think when it comes down to really taking into account how we feel as half of the fan base, we sort of are left to feel stupid a lot of the time. Like Deshaun Watson being one of the more recent examples. What is that message? Like, what exactly is the message? And so for me, I had such a visceral reaction. The weird part was I had been saying that for years, but it wasn't until I did the show with Greeny in the morning where I said, I'm just not watching football anymore, that all of a sudden it was like, oh, how dare you? But I hadn't been watching, and I stopped for quite some time. And I had such a discomfort with like rich white football owners and the sort of way that I feel they view the players on their teams when it came to whether or not they wanted to kneel for the anthem. I'm like, good, what are we talking about? Kneeling for an anthem is so going to hurt your sensitivities. That's the thing you're caught up on. That bothers me because I feel like there's so many fundamental issues there. And when I said it, it turned into a big blow up. I've since gone back. I still have yucky feelings a lot of times when I watch football, for whatever reason. I don't get as excited as I once did, because in the back of my mind, I still feel like I'm not viewed as an equal fan. I think certain players aren't viewed as equals. And so it's one of those things. It's like a dirty little habit. Like, we watch it and somebody will get hurt, or Tua will go back out there with his ninth concussion, and we just sort of toot along and cheer on football. And there's a dirt element to it. It's sort of like wrestling. Like, you know, there's some seedy stuff going on, and yet you still watch it. And it's a weird feeling sometimes.
LeBron James is going to break the NBA scoring record later this week. Yeah. And, and I know that you and he have an interesting history. You want to share that with our viewers?
I didn't have a history with him. I don't know what his problem is with me, but look, he's obviously the second greatest or third, depending on who you talk to, player of all time. And what he's about to do is remarkable. Yeah. And the longevity is crazy. But yeah, personally, I have no idea. I can only think of a couple reasons why. And one of them was I made fun of the decision along with, 75 million other talking heads at the time. And so it's always been awkward to me. But knowing now that he tried to have me actually fired is such a personal thing that no matter what, and I know people want to say, get over it, whatever. Well, you know what? Until LeBron James goes into your place of employment and asks for you to be fired, don't tell me to get over it. That's a weird thing for a guy on his level to do to somebody on my level. Like, it's so stupid.
That's a true story.
It's weird. Yeah, it's true. He wanted me replaced with Rachel Nichols, and that's what started all of that. Like, it was a whole thing.
Didn't he DM you though too and say you were being mean to him?
Yeah, mean. Oh yeah, I did get a DM about being mean. That was early on when he was still kind of friendly towards me, and then something just happened. But look, we all know he is and I don't blame him for this because I am a grudge holder and I remember a lot of things people say negative. So I don't blame him for that. He remembers what a lot of us have said, but it's just so funny because I've never said anything personally attacking him. I could have. But I didn't.
Like Skip Bayless.
Thank you. Like, there are very highly paid men that attack personally daily, these guys. You know, but I don't think Skip's getting any access anytime soon either.
No, he's done. He can fall on the ground and choke on a Buffalo Wild Wing, and LeBron would step all over him like AI did Tyronn Lue.
100%, it would be that. Oh, but I would pay to watch that. That'd be funny.
So talk a little bit about, like, you know, Manu Ginobili, the Tony Parker, you know, the Tim Duncan, you know, David Robinson. How active are those guys? How often do they come back? You know, active are they in the organization? Do they come back? Do they talk to the players? What is their role now that they're outside looking in?
So Manu, I mean, Timmy and Manu both have, I think, official titles. What they are, don't ask me. There's like a lot of words. And they're around. They're around a lot. Tim is an elusive man because he can literally be in the back and no one see him. Like, he'll go to the practice facility and do things, but he's so reluctant to show his face. We've been celebrating 50 years of the Spurs all season long. So every home game we've had like a former Spur come back and sit in with second quarter and all that. He literally showed up, walked down to the court, and he looked awesome. Like, we remember Tim Duncan of the bad fashion days. He looked so cool. Like, he had a stylist. But he walks out, and then that's it. Like, you don't see him, you don't hear from him. David is at almost every single game. He sits courtside or second row almost every game, and he's always around to sort of be a part and an ambassador to the team. And Tony is everywhere. I mean, between what he's doing in Paris and what he's got going on here, he's got 3,000 businesses he's running, but he also does make a lot of appearances. It is definitely a team where I think I always say this, they did such a good job of finding a really good group of dudes that were cut out for this, if you want to call it culture, like Spurs culture. Like, San Antonio is not a town for everyone. I get it. It doesn't have what everybody else might be looking for. It's not in New York. It's not in Chicago, not in LA. It is very a specific kind of person that really finds their home there. And it's always remarkable to me how many of those guys the Spurs actually found and have stuck around.
So you're in Chicago on a Sunday night waiting for the Monday game. What does a Michelle Beadle do? Do you go out to one of the great restaurants in Chicago, or you just hang in your room? Or because I'm sure you've been there, done that with a lot of the big cities around the NBA.
Yeah, but you know what? When COVID hit, I was like, I just stopped traveling. It was, you know, like the rest of us. That was it. So now getting to like get back on a plane and go to cities I like are big. So yeah, I think a bunch of these guys, I mean, and you know, you guys know what teams are like. These guys have people in every city. The crew, not the players. I don't want to know what they're getting into. but the crew guys, like, yeah, restaurants and so I basically just tag along because I'm the new kid again. So it's just like I'm constantly asking, like, hey guys, what are we doing tonight? Like a loser. And if they don't invite me, then I make fun of them for the rest of the day. So yeah, Chicago. We have Chicago tonight and tomorrow. We go on to Toronto. It's a couple good cities on this. It's a long road trip, but it's a couple good ones. And this is obviously the best. And I'm glad we're here first. So yeah, any recommendations? I'm all ears. You know, I'm going to want to eat pizza like the fat.
You're right next to the old Geno's right there, the peninsula.
I know.
Just right over. No,
Pequods. Pequods.
That's what the kids on the bus were saying.
Pequods. Yeah. Oh, yep. Man. But you can't eat, you can only eat Pequods right then and there. Don't try to save it and eat it a second day. It's not good the second day. Lou Malnati's is good 2 days later, if you want that.
Chicago Cut, the great steakhouse, if you're looking for steak.
See, I know there's not enough meal time in the
day. That's true. No, it's not. It's not. And it turned out to be a pretty nice day here in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago in February. Come on.
Beautiful. I know. I know because I saw what it was here a couple days ago, like -3 or something. Yeah. We would not have survived. We would have all died here.
So let me ask you this question before we let you go. If who's your top five greatest players of all time, 1 through 5, who would you pick?
Oof. So this is where it gets tricky. Like I'm 47, but when I really started watching basketball was probably when I was 12, 13 years old. So I always tend to go back to that era because I know obviously the greats of Magic and Wilt and you're supposed to say all those and Kareem, obviously. And I always feel like an ass if I don't say them. So I always try to go off my own personal, but it's for me, it's Michael Jordan first and foremost. Personally, he's the entire reason I fell in love with basketball. And I think I speak for a bazillion people when I say that. So no matter what happens here with this record and all that, he was so formative in our fandom years that it's hard to take that away. It's like a romanticism with the whole thing. I have to say LeBron. Like I don't want to, but I have to. I mean, I'd be ignorant and lying if I didn't. I personally put Tim Duncan on there because I don't think he gets the kind of love nationally or internationally that he probably should. And it's because he's not splashy and flashy and he didn't do any of that stuff. Kobe is 4 because of the killer instinct. And that's the kind of person you want on any of your teams. And my 5th spot is always so interchangeable. Sometimes I think about Shaq and how dominant he was, but I also kind of want to leave it because of what we're watching right now with the Jokic's of the world and this sort of unicorn-like playing that we're watching him do. I leave the 5th spot open. I know it's kind of a cop-out, but as much as us old people want to whine about the style of play today, I do like watching basketball today. We may not love everything about it, and we may hate load management and all of the missed threes, but when it's pretty, it's so pretty. And I genuinely enjoy watching the game today. So my 5th spot, I'm leaving open for probably one of these current guys. I would put Giannis, but Giannis doesn't do it for me the way I think Jokic is special. And he's old school. Like his brain might as well have been in the 80s. Like he's not like a kid today at all, which is weird.
Hey, Kareem might DM you. Why are you being so mean to him?
Yeah.
You know what I love? Do you know how much Kareem must hate all of this right now?
Yeah, oh, I know.
Every day. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. He talks racistly, though. He talks like he really wants him to break it. But behind the scenes, he's punching air. He's breaking stuff in his house.
I don't believe for a second he wants him to. I want some true serum given to him on camera.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think any of these guys who had these records that you thought would never be broken. You know, you look at Russell Westbrook with the triple double. I don't think any of us ever thought that we'd ever see that because if Magic didn't do it, then who else would have done it? You know,
right.
And then you see this kid come out there and, you know, it's like, wow. And he's done it consistently for a few years. And it's like the only people keeping him from doing it now is the Lakers. Good job, Lakers. Good defense.
And now he's still there. I thought for sure they were going to figure something out with Kyrie. What a day it's been.
Yeah. Well, from what I heard was that they didn't want to offer him the 4-year max deal that the Lakers wanted to do. Try to, you know, max it, give him 2 years, which was LeBron's 2 years, and go from there. And but, you know, with Kyrie, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, every team that he's been on, it's been imploded. I mean, every team. You couldn't get along, Beads, with a young Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You messed that team up. They were better without you when you left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cleveland was better without you when you left. And now you're in Brooklyn. We talked about it earlier. We feel Brooklyn will be better without him. And now you wonder what Kevin Durant's going to do. Does he say, hey, look, you know what? Since we're, you know, this is a buy one, get 6 free. I want out of here too. You know, where are you going to send me? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what bums me out too is because on paper, Brooklyn to me should be one of the top two or three destinations in this league. You've got a brand new beautiful building. You've got a cool ass borough. You've got great uniforms. The vibe is awesome. The fans are cool. And yet it's just dysfunction junction. Like nothing's happening there. And it blows my mind. I hope they get it together. I'd like to see Brooklyn be relevant for good reasons, not for all the reasons we've been talking.
It's a fun place to visit. It is a fun place.
Right?
Great. Okay, so one more question because you're in the Western Conference. Okay, so is Denver for real? Because just looking at them right now, they look like the favorite to come out of the West with the way they're playing. And now you got a healthy Jamal Murray starting to get his legs underneath them. And they look like they're like an unbeatable team right now. Is that smoke and mirrors? Do you think they'll be there in the end? Or do you think Golden State will creep up? And you know, even though they suck on the road, because they suck awful on the road, it's two different teams. They're terrible. But at home, they're pretty unbeatable. Do you think that they'll get their stuff together? And then, because I liken it to when we were a championship team. It's kind of like, you know, there's certain teams we got up for and there's certain teams we didn't get up for. But we didn't lose to those teams. You know, we found a way to win. And I think Golden State is just bored a little bit. And their younger and their younger players are not developing as fast as they thought.
I think so. For me, the only team that I've given the enough equity to have a light switch they could turn on and off was the Warriors. I know the Steph Curry thing now, going to miss a couple more weeks, whatever, is not helping, especially timing wise. It's weird. For me, I put Denver in the same category as I put like a Phoenix Suns last year. Like the record was amazing. They looked unstoppable. There's just something, and I never can really give it the kind of data that nerds want me to. There's a feeling. There are certain teams that you watch and that you look at, and there's a ceiling. I don't know why. I just cannot visualize them getting past the hump. And for some reason, and look, hopefully we'll be proven wrong, because I for me personally, I'd love to have a finals with brand new faces. I'm happy that we're no longer doing the destiny years where it's just the same finals every year for 4 or 5 years. Like, it does get boring, especially for those of us who talk about it for a living. So I would love the idea of a brand new finals. But until I think Denver falls in the until we see it, we're just not buying it, at least for me. Not that they don't have what it takes, and they certainly have one of the best players in the game, obviously. But it's until I see them do it, I cannot visualize it. And I don't know. I don't know. But the Jamal Murray thing, I'm so happy for, because last year I was bummed. I was bummed for Jokic. I was like, come on, man. This guy's playing his butt off, and now he's got to do it all alone again. That's ridiculous. But yeah, it's I hope so. I hope we get brand new fresh meat. Give us fresh meat in the finals. That's all.
Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for being generous with your time this afternoon. Go find the crew and find a good steakhouse or pizza that you can enjoy on a Sunday evening in Chicago.
Pequods.
And Stacy will hand deliver some of his signature hot sauce tomorrow night.
I cleaned out my fridge before I left for this long road trip.
Okay. Just for that. Yes. It's coming tomorrow night, Beads.
Yes, I can't wait.
Michelle Beadle, our guest on Give Me the Hot Sauce. Thank you so much. And when we come back, we'll talk a little football and some other crazy stuff, whatever seems to come to mind. Give Me the Hot Sauce. You guys like that work?
Hey, yeah. We thought it was a mix. I was like, oh.
DJ Nicky.
Yeah, oh, he's fired.
He's working with his knuckles there.
Yeah. That was knuckles right there.
D isn't here today, so these guys are, you know, double teaming the board.
Hey, man, listen, we got a sweatshop. Man. One man down, we elevate the next man. So, D, if you're out there listening, I know you are. Yeah. Hey, we navigated through the tough waters. Yeah. You know, no matter how rough the seas are, bring the ship in. That's what we do at the Give Me the Hot Sauce Studios.
Hey, speaking of water, Tim Kelly, tell us about your good friend Andy and his great service.
Oh, man. Hold on a second. Was he making the all dirt bag team, by the way, Forest Grove?
Putting the cart before the horse. We haven't even talked about it.
Yeah, way to tell her. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Man. Did I ruin everything?
Yeah.
Spoiler. It's called continuity.
Spoiler like always, alert. Buddy.
I'm not a professional, obviously.
It's all right.
There's a lot of nasty crap in the Chicago area water.
That's can you say that in a podcast?
Crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say too if you feel like it.
We just lost another sponsor.
All right, go ahead.
That's why we only drink high quality Angel water here in the Hot Sauce Studios. Right. Stay hydrated all year long.
Hydrated?
Yeah,
hydrated.
With water you can trust. Call 847-382-7800 to get your water tested for free today by Brew the Water Guru.
Another sponsor lost by Tim Kelly.
Well, oh, my goodness. Not surprising.
Is he done reading? Is it the alarm clock?
What, what's okay. that phone number again?
382-7800 in the 847 area code.
Oh, man, that sounds like, what was that number again?
382-7800.
Ask for Drew, the water guru.
Oh.
Get a free water test.
Check out his videos on YouTube. What's the name of that commercial that used to lay the carpet?
Empire?
Empire. 1-800-976-800 or something.
No.
Yeah, was it?
882-300.
See, he knows.
Well, he used to work at Empire. He was fired. He was impersonating Dave, the carpet guy. He's fired.
I was laying too much carpet.
Oh, my God.
It's hot in here, man. It's hot in here. It's hot in here. It's hot in here.
You know, it's going to be hot next Sunday. We got the big football game coming up. Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles. No one's talking much about Patrick Mahomes' ankle anymore because it's 2 weeks between games. He's going to be fine. It's basically a pick 'em right now. So, Stacey, who are you picking?
America, I'm going out on a limb. Philadelphia Eagles. Why? You know why?
Yeah.
Defense and the quarterback played at the University of Oklahoma, baby.
After he transferred from Alabama.
Again, Mark, you don't need to say all that. Okay? No.
He wasn't America, good enough to start America, at Alabama.
Okay, you know, that hurt. Yeah. He was 26-2 in Alabama when he lost his job. Though. Okay? He went out. But guess what? He came to Oklahoma, and he was second in the Heisman Trophy voting. And now look at him. He's a stud quarterback because he learned under Lincoln Riley. He wasn't learning anything under Nick Saban. Okay? That's why we took him in. He said, hey, listen, man, come on over here, man. Come on over here. I called him up personally. I said, come on over here, man. You want to be a quarterback? He said, yes, sir. I said, come on. Come over to the Sooners. Lincoln Riley will get you to the promised land, and look what happened.
Yeah, now he's at USC.
You know what, Mark?
He's got a former Oklahoma quarterback who's going to be a Heisman Trophy favorite.
These little jabs that you're doing, these little Mike Tyson biting of the earlobes.
Yeah, you brought up Oklahoma.
Your team, Wisconsin Badgers, when was the last time they've been relevant? Was it Ron Dane?
No.
was it Russell Wilson? When's the last time they've been relevant? Basketball, football, when is the last time? Okay, it's a little crickets over here. It's crickets. Yeah. Wow. I mean, so, America, you know it takes a lot to get Mark quiet. So now, when I hit him with the Wisconsin Badger thing, he's real quiet over here. Yeah.
Wisconsin has been just as good as Oklahoma in terms of making trips to the NCAA tournament.
How many Final Fours have they been to?
Couple.
When?
They lost the NCAA 18? Championship game.
They went to
the Duke.
Was it 18?
When they had Frank Kaminsky. 2015.
When they were shooting the peach baskets?
2015.
When was it?
2015.
I don't remember. I got to go look at it. Hey, research team, we need to look that up. How
Frank
many Final
Kaminsky
Fours?
The Badgers.
All right, okay, I'll give you that one. Yeah. They only been to one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they were there with...
Okay, yeah. We've been to four. I just throw that out there to you.
No,
okay.
They were there.
And we played for the football. We played for the NCAA championship and the college football championship in the same year. Yeah. Sooners, baby. Sooners all day, every day. Look, it's awful quiet over there now. It's awful quiet over there. Did Wisconsin play for the championship for
National
football
championship?
And basketball? And both in the same year?
No.
You're not on our level. Be quiet. You're not on our level, Mike. Mark, you're not on our level. Tim, who'd you go to school?
Hey, we produce all the lawyers that represent you guys at Northwestern.
Wow. He went the educational route with Northwestern. He went to, that's terrible.
I had to go with the lawyer.
First of all, he went to Arizona State at first. Okay. So don't act like
that. True.
Yeah. He went to Arizona State and then he had to leave because he was partying too much. His dad had to come over and get him.
That happens.
Yeah.
Where am I? Where am I? Go
down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have been with him too. Arizona State. That was the number one party school in America like 10 years in a row. Whew,
no, we weren't even ranked at that point because they didn't allow professionals.
Wow. This guy will be performing. Who was that?
You mentioned Russell Wilson earlier, and he's going to have a new head coach, Sean Payton.
You know what? And from what I heard, you know, that Payton wasn't even their first choice. They were looking for some other people, and then other people turned them down and whatever. But they had to give up a lot to get Sean Payton.
Right.
And Sean Payton really wanted to be in Dallas. He wanted to be in Dallas.
He was hoping.
Yeah, he was going to be in Dallas. Mike That's McCarthy. Why he was holding out. And then when they didn't fire Mike McCarthy, they fired everybody but Mike and the defensive coordinator. Sean Payton was like, man, I can't wait another year. I need to get back out there. And the best deal was Denver. And you got an all-pro quarterback because that's what he's looking for. He wants an all-pro quarterback with a solid defense. And I don't know how good Denver's defense is, but I would have waited for Dallas' job, to be honest with you.
Well, I think sometimes they coaches get too much credit in a lot of sports. You know, you're thinking that while Sean Payton had a great record in New Orleans, which he did, but he also had Drew Brees, who was the architect of that offense. Sure, he probably had a good offensive system for him, but you've got to have the players to execute it. A coach can't do anything if he doesn't have talent.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. You know, I mean, you look at all these coaches that get all this credit, and they get, like, look at Nagy, you know, came over as this offensive guru,
yeah,
and look what he did with the Bears. You know, it was non-existent. Offense didn't look like nothing like Andy Reid's that they were running in, right, Kansas City. And, you know, you come here, you pick the quarterback, you know, they got the quarterback they wanted. His system didn't work. I mean, his system was a little bit different than Trestman's. It wasn't that much different. You know,
no,
and they didn't make adjustments when they needed to make adjustments. When you got a quarterback that's mobile, and this hurts right now thinking about that, man.
Hey, how about some college basketball talk? This has been a crazy season. You know, teams have gone from number one, getting knocked off. Purdue gets beat at Indiana yesterday, so they suffer their second loss of the year.
Shout out to my boy Mike Woodson. That's my guy. Yeah. They're doing a great job at Indiana. Huge win for the program.
That Trace Jackson Davis, I think, would be a nice pro too.
Yes, he's got a nice. Is that the big kid?
Yeah,
he got nice moves, good footwork. Yeah. Indiana, that was a huge win for them last night. So I'll shout out to Mike Woodson, man. Shout out for him.
Zach Edey had 33 points and 18 rebounds. It's going to be interesting to see where he gets drafted, because the big man who's not mobile has really gone out of vogue in the NBA.
Hey, you know, what's the kid that played at Iowa? Or the kid with the eyebrows?
Oh, yeah.
Luca Garza?
Yeah, Luca Garza, because he's online too. Okay, he's online too right now. The big kid, Edey?
Yeah. He is big. Hey,
listen, let me tell you something. Those kind of centers are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They're in the tar pit right now. They're in the tar pit, man. They're in the tar pit, and then here comes the meteorites coming in and it kills them. This is done. Okay. If you're a center, the low post game, posting up is done. They're no longer doing that, man. The centers now have to be able to play out on the floor, be able to pick and pop, be able to make decisions with the ball, mm-hmm, be able to switch defensively, you know, bigs on littles, and move your feet. That's the name of the game now. And if these kids coming up don't, it's going to take a coach to have old school mentality and say, I can use that kid, I'm going to go inside to the post. But which coach in the NBA is playing that way now? No one's playing that way.
Well, you look at the kid at Illinois, Kofi Coburn, who's not as good as Edey, but he didn't even get drafted. And he's playing overseas somewhere now.
You know, I mean, Kofi, he's got an NBA body, you know, big muscles, you know, look like he's wearing a muscle suit, you know, but salted banana pudding. Just not physical at all for a kid that big. You think he would just be dominating people and just not physically imposing at all. Because, I mean, you look at him, NBA body, you know, big kid, big strong kid, can run and jump, but just doesn't play physical. You know, when you see him posting up, he's getting pushed off. When he's at Illinois, he's getting pushed off the block, you know, 8 to 10 feet. And then if you don't have a perimeter game where you can turn and face up, because it's okay to get pushed off the block. You get pushed off the block, now you face up, and now you put the ball on the floor and you go by guys, or you know, step back, you know, two dribble step back, jump shots. If you don't have that part of the game down, you know, and you're one dimensional, it's going to be hard to be in this league.
Yeah, you see so many of these guys who are first-team All-Americans, you know, National Player of the Year candidates, and they're either getting drafted in the second round or not drafted at all. Like Stacey said, the big man has gone the way of the dinosaur. So when you're looking at – it won't be long before we get to March Madness. You know, we only got about a month left for the regular season.
Yes.
You know, teams have been going up and down. You've seen Houston. You see Kansas, Alabama, Arizona. All these teams have been in the top five. Anybody really stand out in your mind?
Well, I think when it comes down to it, when it's all said and done, it's going to be the teams with the most experience, you know, the veteran players. I look at Houston and what Kelvin Sampson is doing there. That team is mentally and physically tough. I think Purdue's going to be a team that could be there. You look down the list. I like Texas. I like Texas. I like the way Texas plays. They just had a huge win over Baylor.
Gonzaga got beat last night by St. Mary's. They beat them twice.
That's the first time in a while that's happened.
They beat them twice this year.
Yeah, that's the first time that's happened. But when you look at some of these teams, like, you know, I don't get a chance to watch as much college basketball as I used to, because it seems like we're playing every other day with the Bulls. So I don't really get a chance to watch a lot. But I try to watch the big games. I saw Kentucky, you know, had a big win over Florida last night. Carolina, you know, is up and down.
Yeah, it was Carolina Duke yesterday. Neither team ranked. Yeah. When's the last time you saw that?
Yeah, and it's I mean, there's so much quality, you know, of depth in the college basketball nowadays. And a lot of the teams are, you know, some of these teams are super young, but some of these teams are experienced guys that got 3 and 4 year people. The portals help people out big time, because guys have transferred from big time schools and transferred to other big time schools. Now you get, you weren't counting on a three year point guard coming to your program. Now all of a sudden you got him, and that makes you that much more of a threat in the NCAA tournament, because we all know in the tournament, you have to have good guard play. If you got good guard play, it's going to take you pretty far in the tournament. And then, you know, from that point on, your defense, are you a physical defensive team? Do you get after people? Do you rebound the basketball? And the one team, I'm telling you, America, that stands out, if you're picking out your bracket, whatever bracket Houston's in, ride them all the way through.
They're going to be
that's the one team of all the teams I've seen this year. That's the one team I would say I would bet that that team gets to the final. I don't know about everybody else, but I know that team because of the age they got on there. They got Sasser. They got a lot of like older guys that are like 21, 22 years old when the norm is 18, 19. So that makes a huge difference in the tournament.
And Calvin Sampson, a really good coach on the college level. He's done a good job. Makes his coaches run suicides. When we were talking, in the production meeting, we're discussing some of the things that we noticed around the NBA, and one of the things that happened this week, well, a couple of fights actually, had the fight where Bamba came off the bench, tried to choke a guy out, and then we had Dylan Brooks going to the man region, a little man code violation there.
Yeah, man code violation on Dylan Brooks. Okay, first of all, anytime you hit somebody in the private parts, man, that's
terrible. Donovan Mitchell is what he went after.
Yeah. Dylan Brooks has been suspended one game for striking. He should have had more games than that. He should have got three because it was deliberate. And you could hurt somebody by hitting them in the groin.
I think Bamba got four for going after Austin Rivers.
Yeah, listen, first of all, that fight, oh, come on, man. That fight's like a WWE fight. Like, neither one of those guys really want to fight.
Right.
You know, it's a stage fight. Let the little guy win, that kind of thing. And, you know, Mo Bamba, first of all, you're a 7-footer, man. You got the reach. Man, you need to be dropping bombs. Like, you let little dude get up in your airspace and then throw you down on the ground and almost choke you out. And then after the game, you know, you talking trash. And then, you know, then Austin Rivers, you know, Brasley came back and told him, like, only reason why people know you is from a song. And I was like, oh, that hurt. That hurt. That was low blow right there, Austin Rivers. That's a good one, though. That's a good one, because I would have said something like that, too.
And Dylan Brooks, of course, is in the middle of that thing at Staples Center. Well, I think it's – well, they changed the name of it to some kind of crypto thing. But where T. Martin or – wait, I'm trying to think. Help me with this one. The fight where that spilled into the front row. Oh, John Morant's dad. T. Morant.
Okay. Yeah, look, I got to help him with clear his thoughts there, America. I got to help him a little bit. There you go, Mark. Take a hit, buddy.
No, but the point is that, you know, we're talking about guys that are known for being bad actors out there that are always trying to stir things up. So we decided we would come up with our all dirtbag team.
Dirtbag.
And it is sponsored even this week. It's sponsored by our friends at Biggers Mazda.
Biggers.
Their sizzling new Elgin location at Randall Road is the biggest Mazda store in Illinois. Biggers is offering a bottle of Stacy's signature hot sauce with first test drives of new or pre-owned vehicles. Your choice. Everything from the coolest SUVs to the stunning Miata. Join the fun at 2100 Randall Road in Elgin. It is Biggers Mazda. So they are sponsoring our all dirtbag team. If you're watching on YouTube, we've got a special graphic made up. And of course, the captain of the team is Chicago's very own Patrick Beverly, always known for trying to stir things up. I think he's got guys that don't like him all around the league.
Well, when I look at this list, the captain would be Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
He'd be the player of the year right now. The player of the year, the dirtbag team, because he's a dirtbag. Okay. Dylan Brooks, I'd probably have him second. And then I would probably have Patrick Beverly third. And then Draymond fourth. And then Stephen Adams. Stephen Adams is really not dirty. He's not really a dirtbag, but he's just so menacing. Like, you know, when he grabbed Tony Bradley and took him back like he was a baby, when John Morant and him got into it, and he grabbed, you know, Tony Bradley, who's a 7-footer. Like, he literally picked him up with, like, you know, just like one arm and just took him like he was a child. I was like, wow, that's.
Well, the reason we threw him on there, because you remember that scene in Los Angeles where he basically took his hair out. He looked like Aquaman.
He does, going after
Sharp in the front row.
But you know what, though? I mean, he was coming to his teammates' aid. Mm-hmm. So I'll take Stephen Adams on my team anytime, because this is a guy, like, I think he's got 10 brothers and sisters. So he's like the youngest of all of them, and all of them are athletes. And, you know, he probably got beat up a lot. And so when you look at his size, like, who wants to mess with that dude? Like,
yeah, he's, you know, one of those old school type of centers, yeah, you know, an enforcer type.
You don't want to mess with Steven Adams. I mean, Shannon, Uncle Shannon Shaw was like, skip him. I did that last night. I'm sorry, America. I'm sorry, Shannon. Don't come after you, bro. Come on now. Come on, Shannon.
That was Tracy King.
Yeah, no, that was Tracy King right there. They just jumped out. But I don't think Uncle Shannon won any of Steven Adams. I don't think he won any part of that dude, man. That dude, that's one of them dudes, like, you know, you play that, you know, the slapping game, they're doing a slapping thing. Yeah. Okay, and they say, if me and him was up there, they say, all right, who wants to go first? And I say, I'll go first, right? And then so I slapped a dog out of him, right? And then it'd be his turn, I just like, tab out. I'm done. He won. I just want to slap him. That's all I want to do. I don't want him to slap me because he might rip my head off because I got some big hands, but he got some bigger hands than I do. You imagine getting slapped by that dude?
No, you might tear your head off. There's no question about it. So for folks that are just listening in the podcast, can't see our graphics, our first team, all dirtbag, we got Steven Adams as the center. We've got Draymond Green, of course, the power forward. We've seen some of the nonsense he's pulled. And then it's kind of a three-guard look with Patrick Beverley, Grayson Allen, and Dylan Brooks. We've also got an all-NBA dirtbag second team. And we couldn't have a dirtbag team without including the Morris twins. Those guys are looking for trouble everywhere they go. They bounced around the league. They've been in dust-ups all around the league. We got P.J. Tucker, who was part of that Milwaukee championship team a couple of years ago. And then he went to Miami. Now he's in Philadelphia. Everybody wants that enforcer presence, a tough guy out there. Chris Paul has been known to throw elbows and hit people in the nether regions while he's playing with the Phoenix Suns. And Kelly Olynyk, who's had some history with the Bulls, is our second-team center.
Well, I mean, and for the listeners who can't see the graphics, you know, I just want to know, I just want to throw this out. This is not my list. I didn't sign off on this. So if anybody gets mad and wants to, you know, take it out on somebody, take it out on Mark, because Mark is the one who did it. Hey, I had nothing to do with this.
Just because you're working a Bulls game, you know, somebody has to put the lights on.
Let me tell you something. Anybody roll up on me upset, they're going to get a two-piece and a Fanta. Okay, that's all I'm saying. and no biscuit, okay? So don't roll up on me getting mad at me about it. I saw on you, give me the hot sauce. You had me on a dirtbag team. Because I see these dudes. And I'm, Mark, you be hiding in the bed. You doing a Windy City game. You'll never see them. You ain't even at the arena anymore. So all of a sudden, these dudes going to roll up on me talking about, I saw I was on your all dirtbag team.
Stacey was all for this idea when we had a production meeting.
Tim, don't sign off on this.
And remember what else he said?
What? Well, see, he's lying, America. I have nothing to do with it, but I'm gonna tell you something. I don't look for trouble, America, and I sure the hell don't run. So if you want some, come get some. Yeah.
Well, who wins best ass face out of that group? That goes with Grayson Allen for sure.
hey, all I'm gonna say is, seriously, I mean, it should be like, it's all dirtbag team, but it really should be the dirtiest players in the NBA. And Grayson Allen, I don't care about everybody else on the list. Grayson Allen is the dirtiest player in the NBA. And I'm telling you right now, I'm waiting for the day for him to hit the wrong person and then see what happens after that.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, if he'd been playing in the 90s, he'd already been gotten. He'd been gotten a long time ago. He would not be doing the things that he's doing now and getting away with it. There'd be too many teams. He'd be on everybody's poster list. Everybody's team would get him every time they played.
Yeah, the Bucks have been trying to trade him for Jay Crowder, and Phoenix is like, no, we don't want any part of that.
Nobody wants him.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him. And I mean, listen, the kid doesn't need to do all that. He's a very good player. He's a very serviceable rotational player, can play both guard spots. He knocks down shots. There's no need to do the things that he does to draw attention to himself. You don't need to be doing. I'm still pissed off when he took, you know, Caruso out there. And that kind of derailed the whole Bull season. I don't care what anybody says about that. That was a dirty play. And then he's on the sideline smirking and laughing about it. You know, when you hurt someone like that and you know you hurt them, you don't even walk over and say, hey, man, I'm sorry, dude. Are you okay? He just walked off like, yeah, I did it. What are y'all going to do about it? And I swear, man, this is one of those times I wish like I could magically morph back into this year. And I've been a player. I'd have came, man. He'd been done. He'd been done. That's all I'm going to say, America.
And that's Stacey King running for office once again.
Yes, once again. I kiss babies too.
Hey, tell the folks about how they can get a good ride to the United Center next time they want to go.
Wait a minute. First of all, shout out to my boy, Mike Armstrong. He's back, baby.
He's back.
Mike was off for last week, last podcast because he was at a Bruce Springsteen concert in Tampa, Florida, and he's back now. And he just told me today he liked Florida so much he's going back. He's going to take me on my ride tonight, tomorrow, to the airport after the game, and he's going back to Fort Lauderdale. He's going back to to watch the boss again. He liked the weather so much he decided to go back. Yeah, Mike's living the life, man. He's living the life. I'm not hating him. I'm not hating on him. Way to go, Mike. Keep doing those push-ups, boy. Windy City Limousine provides championship service. Making a reservation is so easy, it's a slam dunk. Let Windy City break the full court pressure of traffic and get you to your destination in style and on time. Contact Windy at 847-916-9300 or WindyCityLimos.com.
Very nicely done. So that's for all your transportation
voice.
Needs.
That's a sexy voice. Y'all go ahead and admit that. I see somebody. I don't like to toot my own horn, but that was a sexy voice.
Got Mark and I sweating again.
Hey, you know what? There's a reason why I was the 10th sexiest man in Montana, and that's why I'm the sexiest man in Paris. Okay? I'm just telling y'all. Ladies.
Sounds like a perfect time to bring down the curtain on episode 117 of Gimme the Hot Sauce. Want to thank our special guest, Michelle Beadle. Want to thank the Sriracha crew for pulling extra duty with D out on his real job. And we look forward
to
joining again next week. We'll see what happens in the trade deadline. So we'll see if we've got some new players to talk about with the Chicago Bulls and see what other changes happen around the league. So, Tim, you got anything else to say on the way out?
No, I don't.
Okay, so that'll do it. Let's play their outro.
Jive on safety.
Nicky Knuckles, good job.
My goodness, it's only preseason, but I'm hyped. Neil Fox, Jimmy G. Buckets, gets buckets. Oh, my goodness. Give me the hot sauce. Neil Fox, give me the hot sauce.
What are you doing, Dragic? Did you not get the memo? Derrick Rose can go upstairs.
Let me step back and kiss myself.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.